Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. Welcome to the show today. I'm so excited to introduce my guest, Ron Hansen, who lives here in the Eureka area with me in Montana. He's been gardening and selling plants for over 35 years, but he's had a nursery specifically for the last 15 years here in the Tobacco Valley. And so welcome to the show, Ron.
Thank you.
And maybe do you want to tell us a little more about yourself? I just kind of gave a brief
introduction.
Actually,
I've been gardening most of my life. And selling plants from a greenhouse for the last 35 years. But I just enjoy gardening. I've had to retire from my greenhouse business. I had a very successful year last year, but a lot of frustration because I can't get to my gardens. It takes all my time to run the business, and I can't get to my gardens. So I've retired from the greenhouse business and anxious to get back to just gardening for my own enjoyment.
Well, you've shared a lot of your plants and flowers and expertise with people in this area. I know it was always fun to come to the greenhouse and pick your brain a little and get some new plants and starts. And I know our garden is blooming better because of you. So thanks for that. I'm sure our community is going to miss you, but I'm glad you're going to get to work on your own beautiful place. So my first question that I ask everybody is just tell us a little bit about your first gardening experience. Like, you know, were you a kid? Were you an adult? You know, who were you with? What'd you grow? How big was it? Just like a little bit about how you very first got started.
Well, as a kid, I had to weed and work in my parents' large garden, family garden, where we raised food every, you know, for the summer.
Now, where was that? Did you grow up in Montana?
I was in Eureka.
Oh, you did?
I was in Eureka.
Okay.
I grew up in Eureka, just a couple blocks from this middle school. What is the middle school now? Mm-hmm. And, I remember picking raspberries and taking them to the neighbors and selling them.
Oh, really?
During the raspberry season. And then, 10 or 11 years old, I checked out a lot of books on gardening at the local library, and my grandfather let me till up some land on his local lot, and I had my own garden when I was 12 years old, and it was about 30 feet by 30 feet, and
wow.
I picked out all the plants and grew all the plants and let my family eat from my own garden, and I've had a garden ever since.
Wow, so you just caught that bug really young. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had three siblings.
And are they all into gardening like you are?
No.
And
I have two children that aren't either.
Just something you fell in love with, huh?
Yeah.
So my next question is kind of, what does organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening mean to you? Everybody's kind of got a little different of a take on that. So,
well, it really wasn't anything new to me because I learned from my grandfather, you know, you spread the manure on and you don't use any chemicals and you get potato bugs. It's funny that we had Colorado potato bugs back in the 1960s, the 50s and 60s, that we don't have around here anymore. But we'd just go out and have to pick them off and put them in a jar.
Oh.
We didn't use any chemicals to kill them.
Nice.
And
Do you think eradicated that from this area? Like, how come we don't have them now?
I have no clue. Now we have all kinds of bugs we've never had before.
So,
and that's due to all the shipments and stuff that come from all over the world.
Oh.
But at least, you know, some of them survive through the winter, some don't, but we get them here every summer now. But still, I haven't seen the Colorado potato bug, so I don't know. Maybe that was the pesticides that they use in the big farms and ranches, but we don't get those anymore.
Or like you said, now we've got different bugs, so I know we have tons of those stink bugs and things around. They don't seem to really harm anything, though. So then, who or what inspired you to start using organic techniques? It was just kind of always that way with your grandfather? Well, or was there something specific?
No, I just always did it organically. And my father-in-law, Don Boslow, gave me a subscription to organic gardening from Rodell Press. And, kind of found the benefits in that and started composting and went on from that.
Nice.
The thought never ever went into my mind to use chemicals, because if you raise healthy plants, you don't need chemicals to take care of the bugs. The healthy plants will ward off the bugs themselves. So.
Oh, I like that advice. I know, and I don't know. I always think everybody gardens organically, and it's funny. I've asked quite a few people to be interviewed, and they're like, well, I can't. I put chemicals and stuff on my garden, and I'm like, really? I'm always surprised that people still do it that way, because it makes the most sense to me. But I guess. Yeah. That's kind of the part of the part of the show, is to inspire people that other people are doing it, and they can too. So then let's talk about this last season. So you were saying that you had an incredibly good year. So what was something that grew really well for you last year?
Well, I had an overabundance of tomatoes. It was a very good year, one in very few years we've had that was good for growing tomatoes. And so they grew real well.
Now, was there anything special that you did, you think, or it was just the weather? Or?
It was the growing season. It was just nice and warm all summer. But, you know, each year's different. You could have a good crop of cauliflower this year and hardly any the next year. There's so many variables in gardening, it's a real struggle, and that's what makes it so fun.
Uh-huh. And especially where we live, I think it's pretty challenging. Now, we lost a lot of I guess we brought a lot in, but we had that big cold snap. It seemed like the very beginning of September last year that I guess Mike did bring a lot of tomatoes in that turned red on the table. I thought that was kind of challenging last year. And that, to me, is always the biggest challenge, is the weather around here.
Yeah, I had mine in a high tunnel hoop house.
Oh, you do?
And they did. It got cold enough to dye back the greenery, but the tomatoes still ripened.
So now tell our listeners a little more about that. So how big is it, and what's it made out of, and do you keep the plastic on? What'd you say it was, a hoop tunnel house?
Yeah, it's a high tunnel hoop house, 72 by 30 feet. It was actually part of a government grant.
Really?
I participated in, I qualified for, and raised vegetables, crops in the ground without any fans or heat, and filled out reports every year for the NRCS. So
nice. And then, do you have to like uncover that in the summer? Does it get too hot, or can leave it covered all year?
You open the ends and it has roll-up sides.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can start plants in there fairly early with row covers. You can put row covers on inside the greenhouse, and that'll give you, the hoop house gives you another growing season, you know, another growing zone.
Oh.
And then if you put the row covers over, that gives you another growing zone. So if we're zone 4 here with the hot house and or the hoop house and the row covers, you've got more closer to a zone 6.
So row covers are like, what is a row cover, I guess?
It's a polyethylene film that can let water and air through and provides some frost protection.
So you put that on in the spring?
Yeah.
Or does it just stay on permanently?
Put it on your garden and on plants. You can put it on, you know, in March I've put it on cucumbers.
Really?
Inside the high tunnel, and I was harvesting cucumbers in May. So.
Ooh, that's good advice, because a lot of the people I've interviewed have said cucumbers are really hard to grow here. So maybe they'll try that. Okay, yeah. How about something you're going to do in your own personal garden this year? Something new you're going to try, or something different now that you're getting to really focus on the home garden? Something you're excited about?
Well, anything new and different in the seed catalog, so I've got to try it.
Oh, yeah?
And this year I'm going to try Mexican gherkins, sour gherkins.
Like a pickle? Is that what a gherkin is?
Well, they're actually look like a miniature watermelon.
Oh.
And they're supposed to be nice and sweet, sour sweet, and real good to eat just fresh. You know, eat the skin and all like a cucumber. So.
Now, do you... A lot of... Sorry, go ahead. You mix what?
I'm anxious to try those this year.
A lot of people have been asking me about seeds and where I get my seeds from. Do you have a catalog that you prefer to order seeds from?
Well, I have quite a few catalogs that I get and order seeds from. If they have something different, then I can't get anywhere else, I'll order the seed from them. But I think one of the best, especially for organic gardening, is it gives you a choice for organic seed or non-organic seed, and it just has, especially if you're into microgreens and lettuces and greens, it has a fantastic catalog, and that's Johnny's.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Johnny's
okay.
Seed Company.
Yep.
Another one that's good for small gardeners is Pine Tree.
Pine Tree. Okay, I haven't heard of them. We've ordered from Johnny's before.
Yeah. Pine Tree allows you to get a sample packet for, you know, a dollar or less.
Oh, nice.
And get enough seeds to, you know, for a small garden. So you can, you don't have to spend like $5 or $6 for 30 seeds like you would with groupies.
Right. Yeah. Mike and I were just talking yesterday also about shipping, that the shipping in the seed catalogs has really gone up in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but those
cool. All right. Well, I'll put the links to those in the show notes. I'll check out that Pine Tree place. How about something that didn't work so well last season? Was there something that you were kind of disappointed with or didn't come out the way you wanted it to? Or I know you've been doing this for a while, so maybe you don't have as many challenges
well,
as others.
Always
but...
there's always some things that just don't do as well.
Uh-huh. Was there something last year that didn't...
Last year was good for just about everything.
Okay.
Oh, the only thing I had problems with, I usually have a really good crop of corn, and last year I decided to split my crop.
Uh-huh.
It was warm enough in the spring. I tried planting a little earlier, and I did get the first crop, but the second crop, we did get those down to 22 degrees there for 3 or 4 nights in September, and that frost doesn't usually... damages the corn crop, but it got so cold it did this year.
So how about some tips for growing corn successfully? Because that's definitely another one of the biggest challenges. I'd say even more people have said they had a hard time growing corn in our climate.
Corn is a very heavy feeder. You have to have lots of manure in your garden.
Needs lots of manure.
And it wouldn't even hurt to side cast some new manure, you know, in the rows after the corn's about 3 feet tall, just before it starts to tassel.
Okay, cool. How about something that you find is easy to grow and is generally successful every time?
Well, radishes are easy to grow, but they're really hard to keep the worms out of.
Mm-hmm.
I found that I've grown them in potting soil in my greenhouse and was able to have a crop last year that didn't have the worms in them, so that was. I'm going to try that again this year.
Oh, nice.
Of course, you know, spinach is easy to grow, but a lot of people plant it a little too late, and it bolts easily on them, so you don't get much of the crop. That's why I'm so anxious to start a spring garden this year. I was always so busy with my greenhouse, I wouldn't get anything planted till about June 1st, and stuff like spinach and peas did not do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Planted like that. They do a much better planted in the colder weather of the spring.
Mm-hmm. And how about something you would steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in this climate?
Well, I wouldn't steer them away from it. Mm-hmm. Unless it's, you know, if they want to try new things, I would encourage them to do that. For instance, sweet potatoes, I'm going to try again this year. I tried about 10 years ago and didn't succeed, but...
All right. Well, I may call you back and ask you to report on that because I am dying to grow sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes.
Oh, melons are kind of hard to grow here.
Yeah,
but
melons are really hard.
I had a successful year a couple years ago when I put down black plastic and transplanted my plants into the black plastic and kind of divoted down the black plastic so when I sprinkled it would, you know, form water around each plant. And I had an amazing crop of melons out here, so.
Ooh, okay.
The warmth, you know, that's what you do with sweet potatoes, too, is plant them under black plastic or black weed block and to give it a lot more heat, drawing a lot more heat from the sun.
Okay. Which activity is your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Like, what do you have to force yourself to go out there and do? Anything?
Mm-hmm. If I could, I'd spend every waking moment in the garden, so I don't think I have an activity like that.
How about a favorite activity, then?
Oh, my favorite activity in the gardening is weeding.
All right. Got any secrets to make weeding easier for other people?
Well, a lot of people don't like weeding. To me, it's my therapy in the garden. I can sit there, I get all my... I learned that bending over and pulling things with your back bent is just, it's miserable. If you just get down on your knees and pull the weeds and, you know, hold the weeds on your knees, it's not that bad. And you can spend hours down there doing that when you only spend about 10 minutes doing it the other way. So, and I just love to weed because you can see, you can look back on the row and see, oh, it looks really nice. And plus, it gives me that time where I can just kind of meditate and enjoy myself.
Nice. That's true. You know, weeding always kind of reminded me of, like, wiping off the blackboard and cleaning off the blackboard. So it kind of reminded me of school in ways and just and starting to clean things off that way. How about a favorite tool that you like to use? Like, if you had to pack up and move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
Well, over the past few years, because I was suppressed with time in my garden, couldn't get to it. I know it's bad, and everything I've read, it's bad to till your garden. Mm-hmm. The more you till it, the more you disturb the soil, the more... not good for your soil, but I've found that when I'm planting my garden, I'll till with the rotor tiller or the tractor, the tiller behind my tractor. I'll till, mark off a row, plant it, till right up next to that row that I've got marked with the string, move over, plant another row where it's been tilled. When I'm all done with my garden, I haven't walked on any of the spots between the rows of my plants. And other than setting a sprinkler, I don't do that until the plants are up to where they might need weeding again. And that's the weeds in my sandy soil. The weeds, if that top inch or so is loose, the weeds don't take hold. They don't germinate. And I can fight the weeds a lot better that way by doing it that way.
Uh-huh. Mike tries to do that too and keep from compressing the soil and walking on it. And I'm not, he's always talking to me about don't over turn the soil in the spring. It's hard to resist, I know.
But now that I've got more time, I'll be able to put a lot more organic material into my garden. And
I had another guest on, a John Moore, who does the organic World Organic News in Australia, and his big advice to everybody was no digging, don't dig, don't disturb that soil.
Yeah.
Just keep adding mulch and compost and things.
Yeah. For the weeds, though, I'm going to do it again that way this year because I don't have to fight weeds There's whole sections in my garden that I used to plant my carrots, and by the time I got out to weed them, they would be so grown in, by the time I weeded them, there was hardly any carrots left because I'd pull up half of them trying to weed them.
Oh.
And doing it this way with the tilling, the carrots are growing and hardly any weeds growing around them.
Nice.
I've compacted down the row, but I haven't kept that compacted in between the rows. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So this next question is one that I always struggle with, which is how to eat or harvest your vegetables or fruit on time before they go bad or spoil. Because I always struggle with that. It seems like my stuff comes up together or I'm busy. And got any tips for that? Ever have any struggles with that?
Yeah, it's always a struggle. You go out there and look at a tomato and think, oh, I'll get it tomorrow. And you forget and it's overripe. But, you know, it's just a matter of timing. You know, you've got a plan, and you can kind of keep watching your garden and know when that stuff's going to be ready and kind of plan your time so that you can get it harvested and done if you want to put it away, you know.
Mm-hmm. How about
put waste?
How about any secrets for preserving food or making it last longer, or freezing or canning or any of that kind of thing?
Well, we can everything we can and freeze everything we can. But peppers are especially easy to freeze. Just wash them and cut them up and throw them in a bag and throw them in the freezer.
Really?
Very simple to do, yeah. You don't have to blanch them or anything like that.
Well, I never tried freezing a pepper just straight out. And then, are they mushy when they come out of the freezer, or are they just...
No, you throw them in one of your cooking, and it's fine.
All right. How about special techniques for cooking any kind of weird or unusual foods? Anything different that you guys grow out there that people might not have heard of or tried?
Well, yeah, I grow a lot of different things, but our favorite dish during the summer is zucchini, peppers and onions, and... maybe throw some tomatoes in later after it's sautéed a little. And maybe throw some green beans in there, just to kind of a garden sauté. And then once it's tender, you know, throw some Parmesan on it and broil that in under the oven for a few minutes. And that's one of our favorite garden treats.
Nice.
So we have probably about 4 or 5 nights every week.
Oh, really? All right. That sounds delicious. How about a favorite internet resource? Anything that you look up on the internet at all, or go any websites that you like to visit?
No, I'm 64 and I've gardened most of my life, and I've bought books after books after books and on how to garden and everything. And
so that's going to lead into my next question. How about a favorite book?
Not even
book?
Looking for any information.
Uh-huh.
What was your question?
Well, we're going to have to get you out there sharing more, Ron, because you are just packed full of knowledge. I know that you you have all this experience and just tons to share. A favorite book, like one that you would recommend to listeners that they would really like.
Oh boy, I don't know. I've got so many books and they're all about gardening, so I don't really have a favorite one.
Okay. All right, so I know that you just closed your business now, but how about some advice for listeners?
Oh,
like...
I do have a favorite magazine.
Okay, perfect.
It's a newer magazine. It's called Zone 4.
Really? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's an awesome magazine about gardening, and especially in Zone 4.
Do you know where that's being produced, or who's publishing that? I can look it up.
I don't know if it's in Colorado or in Bozeman, Montana.
Okay.
But it's...
So how about some tips for people, like if they were thinking about starting a nursery that you could share, or, you know, running a greenhouse or growing, you know, if somebody was interested in getting started in that, do you have any suggestions for somebody new that wanted to open a nursery or greenhouse? Things you wish you would have known when you first started?
Well, I would suggest starting small. Mm-hmm. And unless you're very experienced with plants, it would start small and you know, be prepared to, if you're very successful at it, to grow a little faster than you want to, because there's a need for it out there right now, especially in this community. So
really, now that you're gone, and then I also interviewed that Todd from Ten Lakes Farms. They moved out of the country this year too. Okay.
A small high tunnel hoop house would be a great way to go if you want to extend the garden season, the growing season.
Okay. Okay, and then my final question is, if there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? Like, is there a charity or an organization you're passionate about, or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the Earth, either locally or nationally or globally? Like, what big green change would you like to see?
Well, the change I'd like to see is more people with home gardens. And it doesn't mean you have to have a garden plot in your yard. I mean, you can grow your own vegetables, a lot of vegetables and stuff you can grow right in your house. You can grow them right on your patio. And the more people doing that, I think would make this a greener world, because we're relying way too much on the huge farms and big growing companies. Mm-hmm. And we need to get back. And I think there's a trend now. That's moving that direction.
I hope so. It seems
really, really like to see children, because that's where it started for me. Get children interested in gardening.
Mm-hmm. And you know, so many of my guests talk about, you know, their first experience was with their parents or with their family, and their fond memories of that. And then, you know, sharing with their kids is a big part of what Mike and I, you know, want to do, is share with, you know, kids in the community or just anywhere that we can encourage that young person to learn. And kids love it. You know, our audience probably doesn't know, but I worked with Ron's wife as a teacher. She was my mentor when I first started out. And so, you know, I've seen certainly how much kids love to plant things at school, and they get so excited to see something grow. And just when my grandkids come out here and pick the vegetables, they're just natural little gardeners. And I had a guest on last week, I think, this girl, Elizabeth from New York, who puts gardens in schools. And she was talking about the links to kids who have ADHD, that it's just so comforting when they're in a garden, that their whole personality can change, and it's just a really natural setting for them that they really enjoy. And so I thought that was really important. And but I do see, she talked about a farm to schools program that's really growing. I was surprised in New York, she was saying that she puts little gardens in the schools, and they struggle to, the schools can't cook the food in the cafeteria that the kids are growing in their school garden, only at the Montessori school of the three schools that she works at. They can taste it when they're out in the garden, but they can't actually bring the food in and cook it in their cafeterias. She said they're working on changing that legislation, but I can't imagine we would have that problem here if we had gardens at the school. But I like your answer. I think that's so important too. So my very last question is just, do you have like an inspirational tip or a quote to help motivate our listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Oh, well, it's so much fun for me. It's hard to hard to understand that anyone wouldn't want a garden. But if you're interested in gardening, get started. That's about all I can say is.
That's the perfect answer, to just get started and just try it, and people will be surprised. I know when I first met Mike, I couldn't keep anything alive, barely like a geranium or a basil plant. And so I've learned a lot, but
yeah,
I think that's
good
advice.
That's what it's all about, is like say, every summer, every growing season is different. There's so many variables that make you succeed or not succeed, and so every year is different. And So if they start and don't have that much luck at it, just do some research and try again, because it's well worth it in the long run, especially to grow the foods you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And know that it's healthy food.
I like what you were saying before about you can grow a garden anywhere. So, you know, just starting a little container garden, just even one, you know, big pot. Or we do a lot
I'm
of stuff and recycle things around our house. So,
I'm so surprised in this area that because lettuce gets so expensive in January.
Right.
And that just one shop light with grow bulbs in it, you could have three or four flats of greens, microgreens or spring-type lettuce growing, the cut-and-grow type. They just let it get up 3 or 4 inches, you cut it and eat it, and it grows back, and you cut it again and eat it. You do that 3 or 4 times, and I'm surprised people don't have that in their houses.
And people love to buy that baby leaf spinach or spring mix all the time. And then the other one that kills me is seeing like the price of like kale and Swiss chard in the stores, because everybody's been saying kale grows like crazy. I've never been a big kale eater, but then with the new big green smoothie movement, I've been trying to juice some kale and eat some more kale. But when you go to the store and
kale
you look at
really
it, you know, Swiss chard like is crazy, the price of Swiss chard.
Yeah.
I think. But all lettuce, yeah.
But you got to grow kale when it's cool.
Oh.
Either start it really early in spring and harvest it when it gets up, or start it in like the middle of August and let it grow into the fall.
Okay.
It's awful bitter stuff in the summertime.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. What was I going to ask? Do you keep like records? Like lately I've been looking at my journals and I'm working on writing a blog post about journaling, but haven't got there yet. But do you keep any kind of records like that? Like, you know, when you plant things and when you harvest them? Not really?
No. I plant them when I can.
Okay.
At least that's been my...
And probably at this point, you've kind of like have that knowledge like tucked away in the back of your head. And do you kind of like go by the weather outside? Can you tell like what kind of year it's going
to
be this year when you can put stuff in the ground more?
Yeah, I used to try to plant everything as early as possible and take the risk so I could have a really great garden. And then I got so busy with my greenhouses that I didn't have time to start a good early spring garden. So it just got to the point where I just, whenever it was convenient, get out and plant it, whether the moon said to plant it or not. So, and it doesn't seem to matter that much.
Okay.
Because the more important thing is to plant it so it, you know, especially if it's transplanting stuff, try to transplant it after the last frost.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you transplant a lot of your vegetables and flowers and things?
Peppers, tomatoes, broccoli, cauliflower, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay.
The rest I plant from seed, but it's getting close to time to start planting carrots and lettuce and spinach and...
I bet you have bulbs coming up already, because you're like a good at least 3 weeks ahead of us. Just even, we're just 6 miles south of town, and I think where you are north of town, because town is like three weeks ahead of us.
Yeah, it's ready to till out here and start planting.
And one of my friends who lives in town had tulips and hollyhocks coming up a month ago. In February, I took pictures, and I was looking at them yesterday. I'm like, oh my goodness, that was the like second or third week in February we took those pictures.
Yeah, like I say, every year is different. This is unusual.
Yes, for sure. And especially like we drive down by Olney, still got 2 feet of snow in their yard.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies quite a bit, just not far down the road. Well, thanks so much for sharing your knowledge today, Ron. I really appreciate it, and letting me call you out of the blue and say, come on my show, and sharing your knowledge. And I know people are going to learn a lot. You gave lots of valuable tips today for gardeners out there just thinking about starting out. And thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just A-W-E-S-O-M-E-M-O-N-T-A-N-A.com. somemontana.com, like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. Thanks again for listening, and grow local.